Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Tyler, and this week we are going to be talking about the Nanny Magazine. And to do that, I have brought on Michelle LaRoe. Hello, Michelle.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I'm so glad we finally got to connect.
I know it's been some time since we've been trying to plan it, so I'm super excited about our conversation tonight.
Me too. We met at Nanny Palooza, right?
Probably. I've done my share of appearances at events in the nanny industry for many years, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that we met at Nanny Palooza a few years ago, and we've been trying to make it happen ever since. So, thank you for taking time to
talk to us.
Before we talk about Nanny Magazine, let's hear your nanny journey. I love hearing about people's nanny journeys.
Well, I have had quite the adventure. I was working as a babysitter. I mean, I've been caring for kids since as long as I can remember. I remember specifically my first paid gig was caring for 5 kids under 5 as a 12-year-old for a church family. And I remember, I have vivid memories of one under each arm and, wrangling them up for bedtime. And, I just became the natural babysitter for all the teachers in high school. And as I went to college, I worked myself through college working as a nanny. Mm-hmm. And I really came to love what I was doing. I was studying chemistry. I was the first person on my mom's side of the family to go to college. So it was a really big deal. Wow. So I'm studying chemistry. I'm starting to interview. I'm in my junior year. And I am like, I don't like this. There's no way I can be in a white lab coat all day. Like, what am I going to do? Right. And at that point, I really discovered the underground world of nannying, like I like to call it. I was going to school in Boston and then in Bridgewater, Massachusetts. And I started doing some research. I'm like, I really love what I do. And I learned there was this, network of nanny agencies, nanny support groups, and nanny conferences. And I learned that you could actually make a career out of being a nanny. And if you were really good at it, you could make a really good career. So, it was really important to me to finish my college degree since I was the only person on my mom's side to go. And I did. I graduated with a degree in chemistry on a Sunday. And that Monday, I started caring for newborn twins, 10 days old from the hospital. And I was with that family until they relocated 6 or 7 years later. And I'm still in touch with that family. But during that time, I got really involved in the industry. I became a board member of the International Nanny Association. I received the INA Nanny of the Year Award. I went on to write several parenting books published by major publishing houses, including Nanny to the Rescue and Nanny to the Rescue Again. And then I went on to be the executive director of INA. And I really loved that opportunity to work with all facets of the industry. And from there, I connected with a new member new to the industry named Ken Myers, who had just purchased enannysource.com and Go Nannies. And he got really into the tech side of nannying, but he didn't really have the industry knowledge. He brought me on board to help with some writing and crafting some parameters for those sites. And together we went on and he purchased Morningside Nannies in Houston. So I'm the executive director of Morningside Nannies. And then from there, I launched nannytraining.com. I educate nannies in over 30 countries. And then in December, we purchased Nanny Magazine, which we relaunched as an industry trade publication. So really, I've had the opportunity to be involved in several facets of the industry. I love everything about the industry. I sleep, breathe, you know, everything related to nannies. And I'm super excited about the arc of the professionalism that we're gaining and where the industry came from and where it's going.
Yes. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. You warned me ahead of recording that you had a great nanny journey, and that's so wonderful. And I love, as I talk to more and more nannies through the podcast, I love the journey of like, I'm going to do this for a little while to like, wait, this can be a career to like, I love my career and like, how can I help others in this career as well?
And what, you know, what I really love about my journey and about the nannies that I work with at the agency and that I interview through Nanny Magazine is that you could always tell when a nanny says, you know, I didn't choose the profession, it chose me. Those are the nannies that I want to work with. Those are the nannies that I want to represent.
Yes.
We're going to have to hold 1 minute. Hold on 1 second, please.
Yeah.
You'd think after 10 years of working from home, the kids would know the door's closed. Don't come in, but sorry.
No worries.
We have a windstorm going on. So some trees may have blown down. So they came running down. So.
Aw, are they feeling a little scared?
No, I think we have all glass windows in the back. So I think they just got a little nervous, but my husband's taking care of it.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, that can be scary. We had a big storm up here a little while ago and we all like, I was with my nanny kids when it was happening and we all like went down in the basement and now basement has become their dad's workspace. And so it was very exciting to get to go down into the basement.
Yes, it's very exciting, especially when, you know, the door's closed and they know, but it is what it is. We're all doing our best during COVID, especially.
Exactly. Yeah. So wonderful. Let's talk about the Nanny Magazine. Tell me kind of the same, like a nanny journey for the Nanny Magazine. Like, how has going?
I mean, we knew, you know, I had met the prior publisher at Nannypalooza actually a few years back.
Yeah.
So I knew they had launched it and I knew they were trying to make a go of it. And it became stagnant, I think, for a little bit. And I had seen somewhere on a Facebook post that Jennifer was looking to close it up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love anything that can be a resource to nannies. And I reached out to her immediately and I said, you know, like, hey, you know, are you closing this? Like, is this something you consider selling? I'd really like to bring this back to life. And through some negotiations, et cetera, we were able to purchase the magazine and we relaunched it as a digital trade publication, a trade publication. So what does that mean, right? It's like less of recipes and perhaps, you know, ideas for arts and crafts and more really, you know, industry insights, different columns and features every month, a day in a life. We both profile nannies who have a special niche, whether it's working with multiples, whether it's working for divorced families, whether it's working as a traveling nanny. We learn about their stories. We learn about, you know, different educational options. We learn really facts and figures about the agency. We learn about the industry. We learn about all the different trends, all the different insights, what laws and regulations are impacting us, what's up on the table in terms of things that could influence our industry, what's going on in other parts of the world. We recently featured a friend from Africa who has a nanny school there and learned about what's it like being a nanny in Africa. What do you learn when you're studying to be a care provider in that part of the world? So really it's a global trade publication designed to really be a professional resource to provide tools and tips and practical advice and strategies that are really specific to the industry. So one of the big things that I have, especially, you know, with my background in writing is that I don't want to just take content and tweak it or edit it or twist it to fit the nanny industry. Everything that we feature, everything that we write is really specifically written for nannies. So not for daycare workers, kind of switched to nannies, but really for in-home childcare providers. Because as you all know, no one knows a nanny like a nanny. You have to have walked that walk or hired a nanny or really been involved or know nannies to understand the unique role they play in families. So I'm super proud of that content that we published that is so specific to nannies. And I think that the resources and the tools and the content is really a high level that people tend to appreciate.
Yes. And I say it all the time, but like nannying can be so isolating. And so getting to be able to read about all these different walks of life for nannies, I think is so crucial to helping break that isolation, because sometimes, you might get to a point in your career where you feel stuck. You're like, I'm moving from family to family. It's no longer rewarding. I'm burning out. And then you can, read about a new area, like travel nanny. It's like, oh, wow, that actually sounds really good for me right now where I am in my life. Or I've been a travel nanny and now like I met someone and I want to stay put. And like, how do I make that transition?
Well, even learning about, day-to-day life as a nanny in other parts of the world is just so fascinating to me. I mean, in one country that we featured, it's normal. The kids actually come home in the middle of the day. Then they go to second school, and the meals that they have to prepare, the specific things that are part of the day was fascinating. How much time the children spend outside in all weather was fascinating. But even one of the most recent interviews that I was super excited about was, I don't know if you've read this book, it's called Household Workers Unite by Pramila Nadison. And it's a story, the untold story of African-American woman who built a movement. And what I loved about her book and when I read and came across her book was there was this whole concept that we always talk about, as nannies, is being part of the family. And where did that term come from? And what are the ramifications of that we don't think about? And how back years ago, that was really used to lure the workers and the slaves in, really, to feel like they were part of the family. They would give them their last name and they could get more labor out of these people by making them, like family. And, it just got me thinking to how today we always say, nannies come into the office or a Zoom interviewing and they want to be an extended member of the family. And I used to get so excited about that. And now I like cringe a little bit because it like is opening the door to exploitation in a way. So it was really fascinating to get her insights on the arc of the industry over the years, the history of it, where we were, where we're going, how organized movements have impacted the industry. And that concept was just a huge, the Just Like Family component was just a huge thing that really hit me on something that we kind of pride ourselves on, right? Oh, I'm an extended member of the family,
right?
Until you're not. I think we've all experienced that at least once. To get her stories and the interview with her featured in the fall issue, fall 2020 issue, was really just fabulous. So I'm super excited about that. And our next issue coming out, we have a phenomenal interview with Ronald Ma, who, when I was executive director of INA, spoke at a conference in San Francisco many years ago on mandated reporting and child abuse and neglect, and how nannies, may or may not fall under the legal role of a mandated reporter, perhaps, but what are the ethical and the moral implications? And he really takes us on a journey of what's important when evaluating information or insight or suspected abuse and neglect, and why perhaps that legal term doesn't really matter if you legally are classified as a mandated reporter, but why it's important that nannies should be. So that's a fascinating interview that I can't wait to feature. So we're really at Nanny Magazine reaching out to these experts that are connected to the industry in some way, that are experienced with the industry, who can really share insightful and impactful information that nannies can put to use on their journeys.
Yes, that is really, really fascinating. And I'm really interested as well along those lines in like nannies that have had to testify in court over different things, because we see into people's homes in a way that almost no one else does. And so one of my guests on the show has had to testify in court about something. And it just is, is so interesting, but then also when you are that nanny, so scary, and like you have such a burden on your shoulders of ethical dilemmas and moral dilemmas. And
we talk about this because as I was interviewing Ronald Ma, we had a situation that I became aware of where a nanny witnessed abuse, sexual abuse of a child, and how she had to handle that. But you know, the thing that I don't want to say scared me, but shook me, I guess, was that her first call was to me and not to 911, not to Child Protective Services, because she didn't know what to do. And I really vowed from that moment on that I really wanted every nanny to know what they need to do if they come across a situation. And as he shares in this interview that we do, you know, nannies are faced with an obligation to make these reports, but at the cost of their job security, their living arrangements. This was a live-in nanny. Their security, their reference for future positions, etc., and how the ethical complications that come in when you work in domestic work for those types of reporting, and how it's easy to make reports when money isn't an issue, or perhaps when your home life isn't an issue, or your security. But the challenges that nannies face and the internal struggles. So he deep dives into that topic, and I'm super excited that he spent some time with us to kind of walk us through some important things that nannies should know. So that will be out in the winter issue of Nanny Magazine.
Right. I had not even thought about being a live-in nanny and that aspect of it. Because like, as you know, teachers or counselors or all of that, like if you report, you maybe lose that client if you're a counselor, or you maybe, you know, but you don't lose your home. You don't lose your entire job.
I mean, your whole career. It's like, it's like, you know, when they put you in, like, you know, all I could think of like the FBI, and all of a sudden you like go away. You never existed. I mean, like when you don't have those references and trying to justify that, you know, really can be an ethical dilemma for nannies, even those who may have, you know, the children's best interest at heart. But young nannies, perhaps nannies who aren't maybe legally able to work in the United States, and they're working, and they have that fear of retaliation, etc. I think people are going to appreciate the information that he provided and the guidance that he provided. You know, I tend to be a black and white person. I like black and white answers. So I'm like, you know, Ronald, yes or no, mandated reporters. And he's like, not so fast. He's like, we're going to walk on a path that's uncomfortable, that is deep. And he really took us on a journey of the things that come into play and how the brain works and how the brain processes trauma, and how it's just really fascinating. I just can't wait for everyone to read that issue.
I'm excited to read it.
Impactful. Yeah. And it's funny how things to go as we were putting this issue together. Another topic, like, you know, it just kind of falls into place. It's very fortunate that it does. But another topic that's going to be out is, you know, how do nannies deal with abuse in families in terms of perhaps working for an employer who has a problem with alcohol or with drugs? What do you do in terms of the practicalities of that? So some super helpful information and insightful, especially around the holidays, which can be a challenging time for many families, especially, you know, in this COVID pandemic we're in now. Really happy to be able to bring these real resources. And, you know, sometimes readers will say, you know, hey, we want to see arts and crafts, we want to see, you know, things, but I'm really, really interested in making this a trade publication where the content is thick and deep and really applicable and has, you know, again, like can impact nannies where they're at, because, you know, nannies make such a difference in the lives of children and families they care for. It's such an influential role for the good and for the bad. I'll never forget working as a nanny, you know, my young 20s, and I was a nanny for twins. That's what I specialized in. And, you know, the agency that I had been placed through many years ago, Boston Nanny Center, put together networks of nannies to get together. And we had met nannies and had play dates, and, you know, from those nannies to meet more nannies, et cetera, long before the Facebook groups, et cetera. And I remember a nanny who was getting like drunk and high on the job. And, you know, it was like, you have to be kidding me. And, you know, outing her to the parent and being like, you have to come home. Like, we're not leaving until, like, you know, you come home. And how, you know, frightening it was that, like, the mom had no clue at the time, you know, no clue. And to work as a nanny, to work as a successful, you know, nanny, you really have to have a special personality. You really have to be motivated to do the right thing, at all cost in terms of, child safety, child advocacy, child development. You have to be able to do it on your own without that constant supervision. And you have to be a person of integrity and character who's going to do what's right when no one's watching. I would say, nannies who make it long-term tend to have those characteristics. Otherwise, you don't last very long. You get burnt out and, you don't make good choices. So I think that's super important. People, especially during the pandemic, are looking to be a nanny because perhaps they lost their job. Perhaps they think it's an easy way to get a new job and try something new because they've had their own kids, perhaps. And certainly there's value in the childcare component. But really working for a private family and a private home takes, I have to be quite savvy to do so successfully. And there's a lot of skills and knowledge that you need to be successful in working in that type of intimate environment. Through our training program at nannytraining.com, we really, again, address these issues specifically for nannies. So through all these resources, through Nanny Training, through Nanny Magazine, the website's nannymag.com, we're really hoping to build providers up to help nannies be the best they can be. And to really, the overarching goal is to ensure that children who are cared for by nannies truly receive the highest quality of care.
Yes, yes. And that is the goal. But yes, there are so many avenues, and some of them branch off in unexpected places away from that goal. So I'm really glad that you all are focused on that. And I agree, like, you can type in to Google and find crafts, like infinite crafts,
right,
and recipes. But this being curated specifically for nannies is
right,
is very special and different.
It is. And, I'm fortunate to have made many relationships over the years where I can call on my Rolodex and I need an article and this is the topic. But really, we want to invite and encourage nannies and those in the industry to write in, to share their knowledge, to share their insight, to share their stories. It's so important that, their voice be heard. And maybe you're not the great writer, but, an interview format can solve those problems. So if a nanny has a story to tell, we want them to reach out. We had a nanny reach out recently, and her story will be in a future issue. She felt quite passionate after getting on a plane and going to a new position. And at the airport, she was followed and approached by, by strange men who were up to no good. And, how she wants to empower nannies to know when you get on the plane and you go perhaps for a travel nanny job, I believe that's what she was doing. Things you need to watch out for, things you need to be aware of, your safety, what you need to know. So that's like, only another nanny can write that. Only a nanny who's walked that path can share that. Or now in our last issue with the pandemic, navigating working from parents at home. Right now, many nannies are working jobs they didn't sign up for. Mm-hmm. You have full charge nannies who, I used to say, "Keys, kids, credit card, see you on Friday." Mm-hmm. You have those types of nannies now working in a home where there's two parents, right, two steps beside them all day. They're going crazy. This is not the job they signed up for. So what do? We had a great article from Jennifer Hassan, an agency owner, who shared her tips, her advice on how to navigate that successfully. So, when we say that it was curated for nannies, it really, truly is nanny-centric. It is designed for nannies. It is written for nannies by those who know them best. So I do hope people will subscribe. We keep the price so low. It's $21 a year for 4 issues, plus access to all back issues. Many nannies ask, can we do it in print? Can we go back to print? I'd love to go back to print, but the market just simply won't bear the cost of that right now. The cost to print small runs, it would end up being, $20-something an issue for quality printing. Right. So the reality is that we really have to build it up, and nannies have to invest in it if they'd like to see that. But we want it to be accessible to all nannies where they're at. So at that rate, $21 a year, we really hope that it is. And single issues are like $8.95. So it's really affordable. And it's a great tool to have in your toolbox to go back and to look at and to kind of flip through on your e-reader to see what people are doing. And again, I love reading about nannies in other parts of the world, what they're doing, how they're dealing with the pandemic, what's a day in their life look like. We had a fabulous feature in our first issue, which we launched in spring of 2020, from Norland. I love Norland. Nannies, I always say, and if I could go back, I would force myself into school right now. You can't be American and go there, but my dream title of, being a Norland nanny. But they did a fascinating article for us just about, you know, the trajectory of where nannies are, where we're going, what's the state of the industry. So that was kind of our kickoff issue was, you know, the state of the nanny industry. So it's really my goal to keep the magazine, you know, again, like industry focused, really meat of the industry, really practical strategies, tips, resources, by the numbers, facts, figures, everything related to, you know, nannying, the business side of nannying, and things that you can't get anywhere else.
Yes. Just for listeners who might not know, can you explain Norland Nannies?
So that's a, you know, the wonderful, we always hear, you know, see that when you think of a classic nanny in the brown uniform, the nannies who are the nannies to the royal family, you know, in their brown uniforms, those are Norland Nannies. They are, you know, the gold standard, as we would say, of, you know, of nannies, or at least that's, you know, the perception in what I believe. And, you know, I'm super excited that we've been able to bring a little bit of that UK branding to the US through our partnership with Nanny Stella. We offer a cash endorsed training program. It's a customized qualification, our foundation practice for nannies course. So super excited that nannies now in the US have access to a globally recognized third party accreditation where they can earn a cash customized qualification. So really, you know, all that we do in our parent company and through projects like nannytraining.com and Nanny Magazine at nannymag.com is really to elevate the industry.
Yes, yes. And as you were talking about, you know, just these interviews from nannies all around the world, I just babysat on the side. A family asked me, they were originally French, and they were moving to Africa to do conservation work. And they asked me if I would just come while they were packing up and help take care of their child, because I have a full-time nanny job, but we were all in a music class together. And so they had seen my work and were like, will you just come? And so as they were packing one day and I was caring for their child, they were like, would you consider moving with us? They were like, you're great, we would love to. And then they told me about the snakes and I was less interested.
I know it's just a fascinating what nannies, you know, encounter around the world and what their day looks like. We just included a feature on Canada in this issue from a Canadian agency owner as well as a Canadian nanny and what their days look like and how different the industry operates and how the standards are a little bit different and the expectations are a little bit different. So it's fascinating, you know, as you know, we're an unregulated industry here in the US. I think I'd say in the next 10 years, we're going to see that change. Mm-hmm. But right now, you know, we're unregulated. So when you have resources like Nanny Training and you have resources like Nanny Magazine, those are voluntary things that, you know, like membership in INA or membership in APNA for agency owners, the Association of Premier Nanny Agency agencies, it's like you invest in yourself to hold yourself to a higher standard voluntarily. That's what separates you from your peers, having a pulse, having an understanding the pulse of the industry, understanding how to make yourself more marketable, how to understand to build your nanny knowledge base, right? Your nanny knowledge is so important. And when you're interviewing with families and you're, you know, setting yourself apart by subscribing to, you know, a trade publication that's designed for your industry, taking training that was specifically designed for your industry, networking and connecting with others who are specifically in your industry, it really sets you apart and gives you a leg up on competition when you're job searching, as well as building, you know, your nanny knowledge base, which is super important.
It really, really is. And I love the idea that with that subscription that you can read through the backlogs, because I often find that while I'm interested in stories, until they're like super relevant to me, you know, I don't absorb them necessarily in the same way. Right. And so being able to be like, oh no, this is a new thing that's come up for me. I've never like dealt with this before. And maybe I read that article a while ago, but I don't remember it super well. Being able to go look at that is so helpful.
It really is. And to be able to access content, you know, from a diverse group of writers too, from, you know, we feature, this is usually we featured Nanny Kim, INA Nanny of the Year, first African-American Nanny of the Year. Super excited she was to have that honor. And she shares, you know, her nanny journey. How did she get to where she is? entrepreneurs, how do they get to where they are? Like what in them made them say, I have something bigger to offer? And how did they, you know, get that to our industry? And just, you know, the fascinating stories behind every nanny. There really is a personal story, a reason they got into the industry, a path and trajectory that they took to really elevate themselves. And it's just fascinating to learn and to read and to learn from them and to read their stories. And, you know, I think that shared passion, you know, I remember I tell people all the time, when I went to my first nanny conference, I mean, that high that you get from being around other people who understand you felt like a shot in the arm that could last you for eternity. I mean, it was like, my people, you know.
Yes.
And once you experience that once in the lifelong friendships that you make, when you get into that circle of professionals, and even online, and you meet and you network and you connect with people, and you know, years and years of friendships, and it's just amazing to see what, you know, my friend Galenda over at Nanny Transitions, what an amazing mm-hmm. resource she is, what story she's written for our magazine, what stories
she's been
she
on
has.
The podcast as well. She's wonderful.
Yeah. My dear friend Nanny Stella from Nanny 911, you know, her insight, well, how did she end up where she was? How did she end up on that TV show? We want to know. And she shared with us in our first issue as well. And, you know, nannies like, you know, Daniel Butcher from, you know, LA Nannies, mm-hmm. you know, how do you be a male nanny? How do you break into that? Like, you know, how do you deal with the bias? What do you do? And Shenandoah, who has adventure nannies, sharing, you know, her tips. What does she like to see in a nanny? And Greta from Cincy Nanny, what are the top characteristics of a nanny? What are agencies looking for? And, you know, Stephanie Felsenberg from, you know, Be the Best Nanny, giving her nanny advice, answering questions. What about during an election time when you work with a family that won't stop talking politics? What mm-hmm. do you do? And, you know, she answers those kind of questions. It's so important to have that practical snippet, tidbit advice that you can read an article, put it down, come back to it later and kind of pick up where you're left off. So I'm super proud of the publication. I really am. I really feel like, you know, people, I think they expect one thing and then they see it and they're like, wow, this is like super high quality. This is legit. And it is, it really yeah. is and truly is. And we're so appreciative of all the contributors who share their insight and share their knowledge to really share our goal of improving the quality of care children receive by really empowering and educating nannies.
I love it. Well, if listeners are curious about how to subscribe, how to find out more information, where do they go?
Nannymag.com.
Wonderful. And so just to be clear, it is not nannymagazine.com. It is nannymag.com. I just want to say it out loud in case you're listening and like doing dishes and not, you know, fully paying attention. But it will also be down in the show notes to click on. So you'll be able to just click the link and you'll be taken right there.
Yeah, super excited. And we were able to set it up so you can actually purchase a gift subscription for a friend, for a nanny in need. We often have nannies, you know, nannies are some of the most generous, kind-hearted people, you know, we know. And during the pandemic, we've had many nannies want to just sprinkle some joy in their friendships and send that resource. And, you know, we do our best during National Nanny Recognition Week and other times during the year to do free giveaways. So follow us on social media. You'll have all the links at nannymag.com and you'll have opportunities to kind of win those kind of prizes too.
Yes, wonderful. And if listeners want to know more about you and your other projects, where can they find those?
They can go to michellelaroe.com. I have a website that shares more about my story, my books, my, you know, my journey and what I strive to do in terms of the nanny industry and public education. I'm a big advocate for public schools and empowering parents to be involved in that. And also I'm a foster parent. So our family is a foster family and we share a little bit about our journey in that as well. So certainly what I've learned is that nannies definitely have a much higher standard than the Department of Social Services would ever even imagine. Wow. And so if you can provide respite care to families in need in your area, connect with your Department of Children and Families. Even if you can, you know, provide some occasional babysitting time to families in need. I will tell you, I think when they saw the quality of care, just, you know, and I laugh, right? Because I'm like, oh my gosh, 10 years ago, I was making baby food, homemade baby food, like everything was good. Now it's like, you know, pizza tonight. Oh, you want coffee cake? You know, like my level of severity has gone down. Like, And it's something that's blown them away, just the quality of care our family provides. And to us, this is like, I mean, you know, I'm embarrassed, right? Because, you know, again, you know, we'd be doing the flannel boards and the stories and all the different, you know, homeschooling type of stuff for the little ones. And now, I mean, of course, we provide high quality care, but, you know, definitely not like thinking of 10 years ago. And so you can really be a resource, and, you know, you wouldn't believe what a blessing it is to be able to give back and share the skill set that nannies specifically have. So I would encourage nannies, if they have that availability or desire to help families, certainly it's a good place to start.
Yes. And this is a nanny resource podcast, and you have just been given so many wonderful resources. So I do really encourage you to subscribe and to visit the websites that are down in the show notes, because we are all in this together, and we all really do have a lot to learn from each other, and especially to learn from someone like you, Michelle, who has been in the industry for so long and has really changed the face of the industry through your hard work.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's certainly something, you know, that I pride myself on. It's something that I love. You know, I joke, but it's like, I've been in this industry now for half my life. I'm 44 years old. I've been doing this more than I have not, in terms of being involved with everything to do with the industry. I've had some wonderful opportunities, and I love it to be passionate about something. I mean, I remember a long time ago when I was struggling, right? The struggle, like, oh, the college degree, like, versus a nanny. Oh, you're going to be a babysitter. When are you going to get your real job? You know, to be able to now like out earn all those people, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, you got to figure out what you love to do and find out how to get paid for it. Someone gave me that advice once, and really, truly the best advice I ever received. Because I can wake up every day and it doesn't feel like work. And, you know, again, you know, maybe you're a nanny now, and maybe 10 years from now, you'll still be involved in the industry, but changing the industry, you'll be the next generation. You look at, you know, the trailblazers in terms of, you know, there was the first level, you know, NAN all those years ago, National Association of Nannies, Glenda, Harriet. And then there's, you know, we came along the next year, Kelly, Amy, and then now we're seeing the next generation. So we're hoping to pass on and empower, again, nannies to be the best they can be, because truly the quality of care children receive is certainly at stake.
It really is. And it just, it makes such a big difference.
It truly does.
Our jobs are so important.
The life of a child. And I see that now, especially, you know, in the foster care setting, that consistent, stable, high quality care can change the trajectory of a child's life. And nannies certainly are in that role to be able to make that kind of impact.
Yes. Yes. One secure attachment changes the whole wiring of a child's brain. It's very, very true. And intergenerational trauma, like breaking some of those cycles. And it's just really, really important.
And so for some families, you know, the relationship the child has with the nanny is going to be the healthiest relationship they have. Certainly we hope that's not the case. We certainly would all love to work for fabulously functional families with no issues and no trauma. But the world we live in, we know that's not always the case.
Yes, it's really not. And I do have to ask, do you use some of your chemistry knowledge and experiments with the kids?
Well, I'll say that there is no chemistry like working with kids, right? So I certainly have to always be on your toes. And I think the number one thing that degree taught me was really how to think. When you study the hard sciences, you really learn how to observe. You learn observation is a big thing in science. You learn to analyze and you learn to create, you know, a hypothesis and solve problems. So I will say that those three things really have contributed to my career and really have taught me, you know, how to approach the world. So I'm thankful for my career. I'm thankful for my studies. And I do think it impacted it. Funny or not, I do think it did.
Yes, I truly believe that's true. One of my guests in the past on this podcast was a biochem theater double major, and he wrote a musical about type 1 diabetes and donated it to JDRF. So
wonderful.
And so I do think that combining like creativity and hard sciences is just wonderful.
Thank you. It truly is.
Great. Well, we end each episode with a cute, fun story, and Michelle has brought one.
Well, I will tell you, I think a lot of parents and nannies can relate to this story. It is with my own child. We're doing remote learning like many families across the country right now. And, you know, my older daughter is set up in her room pretty independently, but my son, he's 10. He needs a little bit more supervision. So he's in an office outside my office at our home. And the other day I hear what every mother doesn't want to hear. Don't worry, I've got this. I've done it before. And my heart must have dropped about 30 feet because I'm wondering what is going on while he's live in this class with his teacher. Well, apparently he had been given the host controls. And fortunately, he knew how to give them back and willingly gave them back. But whenever I heard those words, I didn't know what was coming next. I've done it before. Don't worry. I didn't know what was coming. I was really grateful that it was only that he had the host remote, and he respectfully returned those right away to his teacher and his class resumed. But oh man, I thought, you know, you hear those little like famous last words. So I was fortunate that my childhood and my husband's childhood paid off to have a good outcome for that.
that's wonderful. But yes, those words are very scary because yes. You don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. But my goodness, kids really know their way around technology. I've been doing online tutoring and
I will tell you, really, my do. Son, as a nanny, you know, as a former nanny, you know, once a nanny, always a nanny, you know, I love to check his work, especially. But I did find out that he regulated me to a viewer only because he did not like my typo and grammar correction. So I said to the teacher, Luke's work's been getting better. So he made me a viewer only. He let me know that I only have viewer status. But it's fascinating what you see in their documents. I recently was looking through and I see this note. And I say, oh no, because my son loves to send emails to teachers. And I pull up this note. I'm like, oh no, did he send it yet? And he had sent it. And it was to his teachers last year. It was like, dear Miss H.R. and Smith, I am writing to you to let you know how much I've learned from you. And I thank you and hope you're doing well in this pandemic. And I hope you can see how far I come. And I owe it all to you. Stay safe and be healthy. Your friend Luke. Well, I almost died. And he had sent it off. And he was very happy to have return notes on his document when he got back at the end of the day to look at it. But yeah, kids, you see what they're up to with the remote learning. You can check in on their stuff, and you know, it was a blessing to see. But sometimes I wish you wouldn't send things so quick.
I know, but that is so sweet, yeah. And I bet that meant a lot to his teachers.
Oh, they were quite touched. Yes,
yeah,
for sure.
Because it is hard to be a teacher right now, and
it is very hard to be a teacher. It's hard to be a student right now, and yes, it's hard to be the master of remote learning for your kids. But I can say, I think, you know, one of the fascinating questions I'll say that, you know, people, you know, had asked throughout my career would be, you know, once you have kids, you know, is it different? It must be so different. And like, I got to tell you, it's, you know, people be like, it's so much harder to have your own kids. Oh my God, it's so much easier. I don't get to answer to no one. I get to make all the rules. I don't get to answer to no one. If somebody bumps their head, it's okay. Like, you know, when you're a nanny, like, oh my gosh, the pressure for everything and the decision-making, are you going to get overruled? I mean, so it's been a great joy to not have to answer to someone and to have all those. And seriously, you know, like, you know, when I look back at the moment, like, man, I love all those kids like they were my own, honestly. And, you know, the kids now, my first long-term boys, they're 21 years old now, and they've got to meet my kids and those lifelong relationships that you make. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it was as much different as I thought it was going to be. I think, you know, when you love a kid, you know, you love a child, you know, you love a child. And, you know, certainly my own have a special place, but so do all the others that we've cared for over the years, you know?
Yes. Yes, they really do. They get in our hearts, and they carry around a piece, and you carry around a piece
for sure
forever. So, well, thank you so much for taking time, Michelle. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I love your podcast. It's very popular, and I'm glad that you provide this resource for nannies too. It's so important to be able to, you know, listen in the car and listen when you have a moment and you're feeding the baby and, you know, whatever, you can pop it in your ears and have a listen. And thank you for sharing your talents and your resources as well with the industry.
Oh, well, thank you. That means a lot. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.